Hallelujah. Father, we ask that you touch each person today, that whatever they dealt with, whatever they had going on in their life, that, Lord, this moment right here, God, that it helps them to overcome all obstacles. Help us, Lord God, to be at peace with all men and to do the things that you called us to do for. Lord, we know that you don't operate in any way of confusion, but Lord, whatever's in my life, move it so that you can work on me. Help me to become stable, God, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the storm, and in the midst of persecution, in the midst of pain and sickness and affliction. Stabilize me, Lord, spiritually, that I be not moved because the wind blows or because the rain falls. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you now. Lord, I glorify you now. I praise you now, for you're worthy tonight. You're worthy every day. But tonight I want to tell you you're worthy. Amongst the brethren and the sisters, I want to tell you you're worthy, Lord. And Father, I pray the Spirit of God speak to us, through us, and that you be glorified in it all. Guide us, give to us what belongs to the Lord, that we may fulfill his will in this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give our all to you. You're worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Need you, Lord. Like the ocean needs the water. Need you, God. Like the stars in the sky needs the setting of the sun. I need you. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. Like the rivers need the streams. I need you. In order for me to be, Lord, I have to have you. I'm nothing without you, Jesus. Nothing. And I surrender. I accept your will to do it all, Father. Not my will, but thine will be done. Thank you, Lord. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Clothe us, Lord, in righteousness and peace. Crown us with love and let it be known and let it be shown in the world that we are the children of light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you now, God. We worship you at your holy hill. Oh, hallelujah. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You're welcome in this place. Anything that's not like you, Lord, take it out even now, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, God. Hallelujah. Worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise his name. He's worthy. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's an on-time God. He's awesome. He's mighty. He's wonderful. He's worthy. He's worshipful. He is the most worshipful. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to continue to talk tonight about spiritual stability. And it's important for us to be stable and not fluctuate so often, as Christians. Anything that's unstable, nobody wants to invest in it, right? Bible says, the news media says that when the economy was threatening a recession and the credit score of the United States went down a notch, we were suffering because nobody wanted to give us any money. That's what they said. So the economy was what? Unstable. And so some people felt the brunt of that by losing a whole lot because of what? Instability. Now, that's in the natural. So what you think about spiritually, if we're unstable, then guess what? We lose a lot because there'll be no investment in us spiritually because we're not ready for the things that God has for us. Paul even wrote, and he talked to one group, and he says that, I got a lot of things I want to tell you now, but you're not able to bear it. In other words, you're not stable enough to be able to hold what I'm about to tell you, what I really want to talk to you about. You're not mature enough to handle it. You're not stable enough. Amen? Amen. We got to know that stability spiritually is important for us to be able to obtain the promises of God. We cannot obtain the promises of God if we have instability in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm not telling you you're going to wake up tomorrow and be as stable as you could ever be in life. But what I'm telling you is that you have to take those necessary steps. And you have to be more stable than you were yesterday. And you keep growing and keep going until you get to a point to where God said, okay, now's the time they can handle it. Amen. Amen. Anybody that don't want to grow is already pretty much dead. You know, you stop growing, you die. You know, things stop growing after you die. You know, I mean, so we're not dead. We are what? Yet alive. We're alive by the Spirit of God. So we have growth, and so we still have to grow. Anybody tell you they know it all, then they don't know anything. Amen. So we still have to have knowledge. We still have to obtain knowledge. We still have to become spiritual and grow in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Amen. It's a daily battle. Amen. Now let's look at Romans, the 4th chapter, and we will start at verse 13, just for understanding's sake, and we'll read to about verse 20, and we'll see what God has to do in this lesson. Amen. I really thoroughly enjoyed on last week. It was really a blessing to me to be able to teach that and to get something from it myself. I tell you, it's a blessing when you can get that. It makes you feel real good on the inside that you know you're not doing the talking, that God's doing the talking. Amen. Okay, verse 13 of Romans chapter 4 says, For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is a faith that might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, getting to where I want to kind of build my lesson is that as verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were. who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. Let's stop right there. I want to talk to you about Abraham's spiritual stability. We can take a lesson from Abraham because, after all, he was first mentioned as the person who truly had faith in God and trusted him like nobody else in the Bible. Abraham had a walk with God that, unless you were there with him, you couldn't see what God was doing until he got to be about 100 years old. Amen. There's two things I really want to point out here, is that the reasons, two reasons why, and I'm just going to give them to you and we'll talk about them, two reasons why Abraham could be stable. Because he realized two things. He realized that, first of all, God was his source. He realized that. Second of all, he realized God was his strength. Amen. Simple lesson. Abraham realized that. And so when God called Abraham and said, come out from among them and I'll show you a land, God told Abraham to move on basically his word. Nothing. He didn't give him anything. He didn't show him a sign. He didn't bless him before he left. He just said, go. Abraham took off, left, took his nephew with him, Lot. And before he was Abraham, his name was what? Abram, which means exalted father. Basically, it means that he had been put in the position of a father, although he was not really a father because he had no children. So he was basically a father, a foster parent, because now he had taken Lot under his wing as his father, because Lot's father had died. And not only did he take Lot in, but he took this Eliezer, and remember him because he means something. He took him into his house and he told the Lord one night, he said, I don't have an heir. All I have is Eliezer. And he said that this is going to be the heir of whatever it is you're going to give me. This is before he got it. He talked to God as if he already had it. Isn't that something? When you become spiritually stable, even though some things have not happened in your life yet, you talk to God as if it already happens. You talk to God as if you already know what's going to happen, or if you already have achieved it, because he talked to God about his inheritance and who he was going to leave it to before he even got all of the land that God had promised him. Isn't that something? Now, if we could operate in faith like that, somebody might call us crazy, but sometimes you have to be crazy in faith in order for you to get some things. You know, I always used to say that it seems ridiculous for us to believe certain things, but you have to believe the ridiculous in order for God to bless you with ridiculous blessings. Amen. It just don't make sense to some people to see you blessed as you are. And they said, that just don't make no sense. They got all that stuff. They don't need a, well, you know what? God has blessed you with all that stuff because you have all that faith. Amen. Okay, and so Abraham, he himself became stable because of how he saw himself. He saw himself blessed. He saw himself receiving the promises of God. He saw himself going to a place that he had never saw before, but he trusted God that God would get him that. So before he even got the promise of a seed, God had promised him a land. And he trusted God for the land, but God turned around and said, I'll bless you with a seed to inherit and keep the land. Amen. So Abraham saw himself, the way he saw himself helped him with his spiritual stability. It helped him because he saw himself as a father of whatever God had told him he could have, the promises that he had, the land of Canaan, and the father of many nations. Now, Abraham had a talk with God, and God changed his name. He said, Abraham, he said, Abram, no longer will your name be Abram, but your name will now be Abraham, which means that God actually put himself in Abraham's name. Now, Abraham. And so now Abraham went from being Abram, which means exalted father, to being called Abraham, which means to be the father of a multitude or a father of many. And so now he's saying, now not only is Abraham seeing himself stable and blessed, but now guess what? The people are starting to call Abraham by what God said. So everywhere Abraham went, he was called the father of many nations or the father of a multitude when he had no children. He had no children. And look at this. Now, how many of us would be stable enough to go from wherever we were born, trust God, to go to somewhere we don't have a clue where we're going. He's just telling us to keep going, keep driving. Now, we would have said, don't make no sense. We ain't got enough gas. I need somebody to ride with me. We would have made every excuse why not to go. This weather finna get bad. Uh-huh. And Abraham went anyway. But the thing about him is that everywhere he went, people called him by what God called him. You know, And when he went to those places, when he, you know, traveled and God was telling him what turns to make and stuff like that, he had to trust God that God knew what he was doing. What we don't do is we don't trust God enough to know that God knows exactly what he's doing. We try to tell God how to do it. We try to tell God when to do it. We try to tell God how long to do it. We try to tell God how we like it, amen, and what'll make us happy. And God said, I'm not really looking at trying to make you happy. I'm trying to make you successful in life. Amen? But the thing is, Abram became was called the father of a multitude. And so after he got exalted to this by God, he believed what God said. He had no doubt in his mind. And verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee the father of what? Many nations before whom he believed, even God, quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. So God began to do this. And what did Abraham do? Abraham began to do what God did. He began to act as the way God acted because God talked to him as if he already had it. So Abraham began to talk back to God as if it already been done. And so in order for us to get stable spiritually, we have to begin to act like God wants us to act, talk like God wants us to act. And how do you do that? By saying what God has already said. That's what Abraham did. He said what God had already said, and the people around him begin to say what God had said. But what we do, we find people who don't know God, who don't know his word, and then we try to become successful amongst those people. But God said you have to be able to get amongst, and that's why it's important for us to come together at church, because then we have to repeat and say what God said, because that is what's going to make us stable and successful. Amen. How many of us would have, Abraham, I don't know how long it was before when he left home, but he is trusting God all these years. I know this, that it was, he was 75 years old when God told him that he was going to make him the father of a multitude, and he didn't have a child, but when he was 99, then he saw the bump in Sarah's belly. So do the math. 24 years later, how many of us, forget that. How many of us will not have much that we can really say God has done in our life for 75 years, but we've been walking this walk and still be stable? We quit. We throw in the towel. God, you ain't done it yet. I've been walking all this time And we tell them this, and we do it involuntarily, without understanding. We do it. Well, I've been serving the Lord, and look like he ought to just bless me with this. We say that all the time. But you know what made Abraham so powerful is that he never questioned the ability that God could do it. And he never questioned whether or not God would do it. He just kept walking until God did it. That's where we build stability. We have to keep going until God does what he said he was going to do. If we stop, if we, veer left or veer right, if we don't do exactly and stay on the path that God given us to, then guess what? That's not total obedience. Abraham had come to a place of total obedience because he was stable enough to. The reason we can't totally obey God is because we haven't found ourselves in spiritual stability to where we're settled in spirit, that this stuff don't move me, it don't make me want to jump out of character, it don't make me want to act a fool, it don't make me want to throw in the towel when it's time. Come on and say amen. And so when Abraham got to a certain places, Abraham said, you know what, I'm just going to keep on going. When he got to places where it seemed like when he would dig a well and the people come and they fight him over it, he said, all right, I'll just go down the street because God's with me. We fight over stuff. All right. And if it's, we have to use the wisdom of Solomon. Let it go. God will give me something else. And so he says, he called those things that be not as what? Though they were. So God called those things that be not as though they were, and Abraham began to do it. And so Abraham had so much influence on the people that was with him that they began to do it too. Now, whatever God tells you, you ought to be able to influence other people to say the same thing if they're in your house. If they're your children, if they're your friends, that should be how the conversation, how do you think that they begin calling Abraham that Abraham? Because he had to tell them. They wasn't all right there just watching God say, your name shall be called Abraham. No, that's not how it happened. It was a personal thing. He had a personal relationship with God. He talked to him. Abraham, your name will be Abraham, and your wife's name will no longer be Sarah, but Sarah. And he told him that. And then so he had to share that with the people that he was with. Don't call me that no more. Don't call me that no more. Call me what God calls me. Amen. Don't call me no liar, because that's not what God called me. I might have used to lie, but now I'm a truth teller. Amen? Amen? All right. And so, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He was stable enough that when the Bible says that who against hope believed in hope, this means that he was stable enough to believe because he had the hope in God, and that even in a hopeless situation, against hope means that he was past being helped by human beings. He was at a point to where he had no hope at all, because here he was 75 years old. Here his wife was. I forgot how old she was at the time, but here she was. I believe she was 65 or something like that. And so here they were, and he said, who against hope believed in hope. He said that even though this stuff looks like it can't happen to me and it's unreal to me, I still believe that God can do exactly what he said. So even, he said, because his body, let's go on a little further. Who against hope believed in hope according to that which was what? Spoken. What is important? When you want spiritual stability, you got to know what's been spoken. You can't just go off on a whim and start talking about, I believe God going to do this. Did he say that? We do have to become more specific in the church. We, in this the last 25 years, people have been told to call it and haul it, grab it and blab it, name it and claim it. And we use these scriptures right here because we say, call those things that be not as though they were. No, you got to say it. If God has called, who did he say call those things? He said God called those things. He didn't say you just go call something. He said whatever God said, you say what God said, then whatever God said will happen. The truth is a fact. Because everything that be is because of the word. Amen. Right? In the beginning was the what? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. And was not anything made that was made without the word. Amen. So it's the word. And it's not, you know, because sometimes I can think of something and it may not even be what God said. Amen. And we gotta know that every thought you think is not always God's thoughts. Right? Amen. Sometimes you gotta eject some of that stuff because you know it ain't God. Amen. It may be a good idea sometime, but is it a God idea? Sometimes it might be in our eyes the right thing to do, but is it God's thing? Right? So we have to really be led of the Spirit of God. Amen? It might be right for me to defend myself and say something to somebody or go off. It might be right because I reserve that right as a human being to express myself. But God may say, don't say a word. And then what? You don't say a word, then God turn around and turn that whole situation. Because he said, a soft answer do what? Turns away wrath. You know, so we have to become stable in the word of God. We know what we want to know, but we need to know what God wants us to know. Amen. And so it was God who quickens the dead and who made Abraham believe. Abraham's, the source of his faith was that God was a living God, that he was omnipotent, that he was omniscient, that he possessed all power, and he breathed the breath of life into dead matters, because he says, and being not weak in faith, consider not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look, in other words, he said Abraham kept acting out in faith to get the promise that God had given him. For 25 years, he kept going to Sarah's bedroom. Y'all get that? For 25 years, he kept going and did not consider the deadness. He didn't consider, what did it say? He did not consider his own body now what? Even though he might have felt it, he didn't consider it dead. You may feel something, but you can't consider it. You need to consider what God said. He said, now, not only did he not consider his own body dead, but when he was 100 years old, but he said, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, her inability to be able to have a baby, didn't faze his faith. That is such a powerful thing, that when you look at and you know something is just dead, and then you say, I know it's dead, but God said.
Amen.
When you look at it and you say, I know it's dead, but God said. Come here, Ezekiel. Let me borrow Ezekiel for a moment. Ezekiel was gone. They took him through the valley. And I know we're off a little bit on this, but we're still talking about being spiritually stable. He was taken in the spirit, and he went and he was shown a valley of dry bones. He got up close. He saw them. He saw what state they were in. And when he got even closer, he said, not only are they dry, but they were very dry. They had no hope. They were withering away. The sun had scorched them. And then God asked the question to Ezekiel. Say, can these bones live? Ezekiel says what? God, you know it. He was saying, God, you are the power, you are the source, you are the all-knowing, and if you say they can, they can. The problem with us human beings today is that we put too much trust in everything else. We put too much trust in opinions.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast